if you don't mind. I want to go to the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, chapter 2. And I want us to look there in chapter 2 at verse 10 and probably 11. Judges 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." As we think about that just a moment and kind of place this in the time period that it was, they had been prisoners in Egypt for 450 years. And God had brought them out of Egypt. And he had placed them in a new land. And it's hard to think that even after all of the spiritual things that God had done, that they had left God out of their life. Now, if you notice, it wasn't that generation, but it come about. He says, "There arose another generation after them." So it makes us think about ourselves. And we're living here, serving the Lord. What about the next generation? What about your children and your grandchildren? Where are they at in this world? Think about it. Are they serving the Lord? You know, I want us to notice here this. Let's turn to Joshua just a moment. And I want to go to Joshua here. And as he describes it here. Well, maybe I should first of all read here where we're at in Judges. Let's go two more verses. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord unto anger." So we see here they have provoked God, and they have forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. So what we see here then is the anger of the Lord comes about because of their leaving him out and starting to serve other gods. I often want to think about us in our day and time. What's happened in our day and time? Are we seeing the same thing that happened there? You know, I think sometimes we do, and I was going to go over to Joshua, but before we do, let's stay in Judges a minute. Let's turn over to the 17th chapter of Judges. In the 17th chapter, look at verse 6. It says, "In those days there were no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." He did what he thought was right in his own eyes. Let's notice there, drop on down in that chapter to verse 11. And the Levites was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. So we see here, again, the idea of serving other gods like that was around them. And we have a lot of information over in the book of Joshua. And the fact that what they were doing, if you don't mind, I'm going to turn there for a moment. And what we see is that they failed to teach their own children and bring them up as they should. And that's what Deuteronomy tells us as well. I think as we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 first, and maybe we'll get kind of on mind here. In chapter 6, look at verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate." So as we see here, this was what was given to the nation of Israel when they come out of Egypt, Deuteronomy. If you were just to look at the first Deuteronomy, verse of chapter, as it begins, we see that it's in the here when Moses is at his end, really, when he gives this to them, and everything is turned over then to Joshua. And Joshua then is to lead them, and here we find that one of the main things that we see is that they are to teach their children. Well, we know that as we look at that today, in our day and time, we see the same thing, don't we? We are to teach our children. And I think without a doubt that was what he is speaking of here, that we are to teach our children. And there's one of the comments that I want to get out of before we get over too far in the new, is what they were to teach them and how often they were to teach them. You know, we sometimes think about it, but we don't really get around and do it as we should. Let's turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And this is very common. You all know it very well. And we see here in Ephesians, he talks about the same subject of teaching our children. Notice in chapter 6, verse 1 there, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And then he goes ahead to say, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So if we're going to continue and not lose everything that's been gained, we need to be loyal and teach our children, because they are the next generation. Let's notice another passage. Turn over to 2 Timothy a minute. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's notice there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's just look at the first four verses. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We see what we are understanding. We need to be loyal to the Lord, and we need to preach and teach exactly what he wants us to, and it needs to come through even our children, the next generation that is about to live and serve the Lord. They need to know the gospel and understand the gospel. They need to be taught in such a way that they understand it. That's one of the things that we look out in our world today. How many people do you see and live with, around and work with or go to school with? What do they say? Do they understand the truth? Do they understand the gospel? Have they obeyed the gospel? Do they consider what it is to be? You know, in Timothy, notice verse 22 in chapter 2 there. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. So we need to be concerned there, the youthful lust, the things that would bother them. You know, there's another passage that we oftentimes use in 1 Timothy. Let's back up to 1 Timothy. And we want to go to chapter 4 and look at verse 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So what we see here, Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, this concerned with the example that you're to be. You're to be an example that people could go by and live by if you would do the right things. And that's what he's teaching. To do the right things. You know, just think a minute. When we're thinking about youth, the next generation, what are some of the things that we need to think about? Well, we know, first of all, we want them to understand what to do to be saved. what the Bible teaches. And we want them to know that they must believe in Jesus Christ. They must be willing to stand and confess that he is God's Son, and he come to this earth, and he died on the cross and shed his blood that we could have forgiveness of sin. They need to know that and understand that. And I think for the most part, like the ones that come here, they have that opportunity. They do. But look at the world. Look out in the world. What do they see? You know, they don't see what is needed and what should be done. It's sad as we think about it. And it's kind of like another generation will develop that knows less. But let's think of some of the things that they would be concerned with. What are some of the things that would be? Well, for one thing, they would want to be able to have a job and work. They want to be able to. So we need to, as Christians, we need to choose and pick jobs where we can work and still serve the Lord. Too much of the time, too many times, they'll wind up with taking a job that interferes with serving the Lord. I know, I've been there. So, and I'm sure many of you have. Well, there are other things too. I think to need to be concerned with. Think about this. The Bible teaches concerning marriage. Well, one of the things that children and young people growing up, they need to be taught concerning marriage, what it is and how it's to be conducted. And so we need to be very careful, and they do, in making their choice as to one that they want to live with the rest of their life. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. And we don't, so we, they, you know, they need to know what the one is. And who's the right one to marry? You need to be concerned with. Well, one thing, they need to have a similar background. They need to be religious in the same way that you are and that you've been taught. So should have the same interests. So that's one of the things that we see there. I think there's another that we need to think about. And that is how are we going to dress? Are we going to dress in such a way that we don't interfere with people believing God because we're dressed wrong? Well, you know, think about it. Those are things that we need to think about. In serving God, we need to do the right thing. And that's what he's talking about there in Timothy, doing the right thing, in word. So don't use words, voice in such way that we're all going to be judged by, we're told in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 36, by every word out of our mouth. Well, are we going to use language that will cause people to go the other way? We need to be very careful with the words and the things that come from our mouth. The other thing he says here, in conversation, in the King James Version, the old King James, but that means manner of life. Manner of life. Is our conduct, are we going to the wrong places, involved in the wrong things? Are we involved in things that keep us from serving the Lord? We need to be very careful in what we teach our young people concerning that. And we also need to be concerned with, there he says in that verse, with love. King James Version uses charity, but the word is actually love in the newer version. We have to have the right love for other people and be concerned. But you know, there are so many other things that we need to think about along the way. I wanted to think about this. We are to be able to recognize sin. Be able to recognize sin, what it really is. So many people don't. You might think about the Old Testament again. The fact that we are to recognize it and not obey it. And that's what we're looking at in this part that we had here. You know, we look at what Jesus, what Moses taught the old, and one of the things was that they were to teach their children, and they were to bring them up in a way that they would be serving God. And what was happened there in Joshua's time, they had totally got away from God and they didn't have any way of believing. Most of us all know, if Ecclesiastes, we've looked at that so many times, but at the same time, what he taught was in Ecclesiastes, in the last chapter, in that verse, excuse me, we notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We need to be sure that the children come to a place of knowing God and knowing the truth. And so we must see that they are taught so that they can be. And notice also, while you're in that chapter, and you read it when you get home, but look at the last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The day will come when we will all give an account for the things that we have done in this life. We are young people, but we're caught up in those things, and we need to, as young people, learn those things, and us older people need to teach it to them and bring it to them so they understand what will happen. And I think that's what we see there in that chapter. You know, there are other things. You know, there's one thing that we must do. We must be concerned with doing the laws of the land. If you listen to TV now, and you happen to listen to the news, it is horrible what we hear them say and what we hear them say about young people and what they're doing. Why, where did that come from? They don't understand the consequences of what they're doing. And we're living in a world kind of like it was back there when he, Judges was talking about, and that they just don't know. Listen, as I hear in Romans chapter 13, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So what we see here, we're to even obey the laws of the land. And that's what he's saying there. So we have to be very careful that we're doing. Now, I know that there are a lot of laws that are kind of hard to obey. But one thing, let's think about it. One of the easiest things to obey that many people don't is they have speed limits on the roads. How many times do people just absolutely pay no attention to that? Well, that's not obeying the law that is given of the powers of others. Of course, we know that we're to obey God, but then there are other laws that we see that we are to, and I just use that as an example, but there's many others that I could use that people just pay no attention to it. And the sad part of it is then they make some that you couldn't possibly give. They're making it available now where you can have marijuana. Oh, sad. Think about it. As children need to be taught that that's wrong. You don't want to be involved in that. And so we need to be very careful how we deal with that and how we see we need to teach that they're to respect and the authorities and the laws of the land. We need to be very careful that we obey them. Our main duty then is, of course, to serve God and do His will. Go back to Ephesians again. Go to chapter 5 and look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What a passage as we think about it. We need to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. How are we going to do that? We're going to have to study the Word of God to come to an understanding so that we know. And so the next generation, we want them to know. I think another thing that we need to bring forth is that what's going to happen. Well, you know, it's sad But let's just turn over to the book of Revelation a moment. Go to chapter 22. Well, let's go to chapter 21 first. In chapter 21, look at verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, think about that. Fearful and unbelieving. Now, think about the world you're living in and the people you're around. The abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That'll be when we die. There's only two places. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. Which one are you preparing for? Turn over to chapter 22 of Revelation. Look at verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Again, we see the description, and it's a description of those who are so sinful, so involved in all of these things, that they will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. What a thought. What a thought. We need to prepare the next generation so that they'll be able to deal with it as they grow older and get into this world. And I think we see out in the world today so many that are involved. And how often is it mentioned young people or teenagers in the sins and crimes that are being done? We have a responsibility to see that they're taught. They're taught. Otherwise, it'll be like you said there in Judges 2. It's a generation that knew not God. What a thought. We need to change that in our day and time as best we can.